Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22. James, chapter 1, verse 22. James, chapter 1, verse 22 reads this way. It says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, I thank you for the privilege we have to gather together as your people to open your word, and Lord, to know that you are in our midst to guide us in your ways. And Lord, I pray for your blessing on the service tonight. I also pray, Lord, that you would help me to preach your word, that you would give me the strength to do so, and that, Lord, you would guide in all of this and be honored and glorified ultimately, Lord, is our desire, and we'll thank you for that. So bless your word, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message tonight is Doers of the Word, Doers of the Word. This is basically not a suggestion, but a commandment to believers, really from the love of God. And if we'll see that this is what's important, this is the best way to look at every commandment, and that is the love of God. God has lovingly given us these things to help our lives and to set us free. And in fact, Jesus said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments." Lord, help me to love you and keep your word. And so when we consider our text tonight, it begins with a conjunction, and that means it's adding a continuing thought here. So we want to back up, and we're going to look at three thoughts tonight. Do not err because of the gift of eternal life. And doers of the word are blessed in his deed. These are the three thoughts. Do not err because of the gift of eternal life. And doers of the word are blessed in his deed. And we'll see that here tonight. So let's back up to verse 16. And notice what it says here. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And again, that's an endearment, a term of endearment, is it not? We are beloved in the Lord. And he says, don't make a mistake. And so the idea is that the potential is there to err. And so, God, keep me from erring. Help me not to make a mistake. Help me to understand exactly what you have for me. And so, notice what he says here in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And that's true. Amen?
Amen.
And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, the greatest gift that you and I possess as his children is what? Salvation, eternal life. And aren't you glad that there's no variableness with God in that? Does he discriminate over one over the other? Or does he say, for whosoever will? Amen? And all those that call upon his name shall be what? Saved. Aren't we glad that there's no variableness concerning this gift? Now, of course, this includes every gift, all the gifts, but I think we're going to zero in here on the gift of salvation is what God wants us to understand. Don't err with the greatest gift that has been given to mankind, and that is our eternal life. And so he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's eternal, isn't it? And then as we consider this gift of God that I believe is equated to eternal life, you find here in verse 18, he says, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. So he is talking about the word of eternal life, right? That we should be a kind of first fruits with his creatures, of his creatures. So he says, I want you to know something. Don't err concerning the greatest gift that has been given to mankind, and that is specifically our eternal life. We can misunderstand it. And again, as how many times can you look at people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that have misunderstood the word of God? Cain did. We talked about him today. Balaam did, certainly. Kor did as well. But even children of God have missed out on understanding
the word of God. I think of Elijah. I mean, my goodness, he just had a great victory. There was no water for 3.5 years. And he had a standoff with the prophets of Baal, and he won that. And then he received a message from Jezebel that he was going to be like one of those prophets the next day. And he went running for the hills. But God found him, didn't he? Did he make an error? He said, "Lord, I'm the only one." But he wasn't, was he? There were 7,000 other souls that did not bow the knee to Baal. And we thank the Lord for that. So we need to be reminded that we can err. And God's saying, be careful, be diligent. The adversary is, the devil is like a roaring lion. He is looking to pull down our faith. The world is looking to pull down our faith. And really so is the flesh, looking to say that's too hard, that's too difficult. But God, when he gives us the understanding that it's in his strength and might, it puts the right perspective. It shines the light. Have you ever looked for something and you can't find it? If somebody brings a light, or you decide, you know, the light bulb comes on over your head and you get a flashlight and it lights up. There it is. And really, that's what God does with his word to every believer. He wants to light up our path. And so he says, I want you to know that you're a kind of first fruits. We've been begotten with the word of truth. And so he says, I want you to understand, don't make a mistake concerning the gift of God, concerning our eternal life. And why? Well, the second point is because of the gift of eternal life. Look at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Because you have this eternal life, this is the wisdom that must be coupled with that. We must be careful to not jump, you know, and say things and do things right away. You know, it's always a mistake to jump quickly. I rarely do I ever find it to be a right thing. I opened up my email today, and I got a note from Amazon, and it said, your account has been closed or blocked. Sign in here at this link. Should I listen to that email? I just ordered something from Amazon last week. There's no problem with my account. Got another one from PayPal. There has been some fraudulent charges on your PayPal account. Sign in here. Do you know the last time I used PayPal was 2005? I don't think there's a thing wrong. In fact, if it's closed, that's all right with me. But they were telling me that I have had some fraudulent charges. I've not seen any fraudulent charges. They're trying to get me to react. Oh, by all means, let me put in all my information for you. Do you want my Social Security card number too? I'll give that to you too. No, I won't do that. But listen, the world tries to get us uptight. The flesh tries to get us to be reactive, and the sky's falling. And God says, I hold you in my hand. And with that, he says, because I hold you in my hand, he says, my beloved. These are again, this is a term of endearment. My beloved. Beloved of the Lord. That's what we are. Brethren, let every man be swift to hear, listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. My mother-in-law used to say, you have 2 ears and 1 mouth. That means you should do twice the listening and less talking. Amen? And I remember her telling that to the grandkids at different times, and I thought, well, that's good wisdom. Well, the Bible tells us to do the same thing. It says, be careful that you don't get in front of yourself. For the wrath of man, listen, verse 20, worketh not the righteousness of God. Did you know that every time you get angry, you are not working the righteousness of God? And here's the key. God is wanting us to work his righteousness by his power and his grace, that he might glorify himself in and through our lives. So when we're all panicked, we're not believing that God holds us in his hands. That's just the truth. And we can do that. It's not the right thing, but we can do that. But at least may we recognize that's not where God wants us. We can get angry and get all bent out of shape and upset. But that's not where God wants us either. And so do we want to be where John was with his head laying in the Lord's bosom. Amen? Just resting in the Lord, just drawing near to God. And that's where God would have us to be. So because of the gift of eternal life, that's what it means when it says, wherefore, because you're saved, wherefore, my beloved, because of what was just said, he says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Then he says the word wherefore again, and again the idea is because of our salvation, our relationship with the Lord, lay apart all filthiness of superfluity. Now, you may not be sure what the word superfluity is. It's not a word that's not used today, but it's an overflowing of wickedness. It's what the word means. So he says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Isn't that amazing? He's talking to believers. And he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, is he talking about eternal life? No. He's already told us we possess it. Do we need it again? If we've been saved, do we need to be saved again? No, we don't need to be saved. You can't be born into this world more than one time. And listen, I know, be careful what you listen to. All these people saying, oh, you know, I've been reincarnated. And be careful what you listen to concerning people that have died and gone to heaven. You hear that all the time. And realize this, that the devil's at work too. And he comes looking like an angel of light. I saw a little preview of this little boy that died and went to heaven and started talking about a little girl that died long ago, just before birth or after birth, I don't remember. A little girl in heaven, a little girl came up to heaven. Do you think we're going to be little children in heaven? I think every child that dies will. Do you think there's going to be babies in heaven? No, if they're safe in the Lord, they're going to come to the full age of understanding and wisdom. Do you think there's going to be people that are going to be those that have died over 100 years old? Do you think they're going to be up there with their canes? So likewise, we're not going to see little infants. You want to change their diapers? Not me either. Amen. Oh, we thought we'd go all natural with our first child. You know the cloth diapers? We had two little girls. My wife used to watch after school for a little while, and they said something. One sister said to the other, how old were they? Maybe just 4 and 5 years old or something like that. And you ought to use real diapers, they said to my wife. You know, Pampers. Those are real diapers, not those cloth things. Well, man, I agreed after, you know, a year of that, right? You have to wash them and all that kind of stuff. I'd rather just throw them away. Amen. Oh my. So, but listen, God says, I've got something better for you. I don't want you caught up in that. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. It's not talking about our eternal life, but it's talking about the life of Christ on this side of eternity that he wants us to live and to have. And again, the world has its ideas. Be careful. If you look at it through the eyes of God, we'll understand these things are not true. These things are not real. What the media is trying to propagate and to push on us and to get us to all get all panicky and worried. I will raise this though. It is amazing to me, and because it's on the news, you see it. How much UFO nonsense, confusion is out there about UFOs. Wouldn't it be something, and this is, it's not original with me, that's not part of the deception. I mean, can you imagine during the rapture, you already hear about these abductions. What do you think the world's going to say when a whole bunch of people are taken out of the world? Oh my goodness. Hey everybody. Brother George, isn't that kind of a little bit silly? Don't we have a space force now? Right? Why do we have a space force now? Because there might be other beings out there that are going to attack us. Well, there's only one that's got a bunch of imps with him that's trying to attack us. And he'll deceive the world. Oh boy, listen, yeah, we're getting attacked from out there. We better unite and get together as one world. That's just conjecture, speculation. And I'm not saying that's the case, but there's something crazy going on, right? But is that what we're to look to? I wouldn't even tell you I'm close to being right on that, but something's going on. But there's one place I know to go to that is always right, and that is the Word of God. I don't have to wonder and speculate and try to figure out what might be going on. I know for sure the Word of God is true. I know that Jesus Christ died for the human race. There's no alien races out there. There are a lot of fallen angels out there, but there's no aliens out there. It's kind of funny how they look a little demonic when they depict them. But listen, there is a Savior who died for you and I, and he says he holds us in his hands, and I can rest assured in that. And so when we look at this, he says, I want you to know, because of eternal life, don't get distracted about what's going on and isn't going on and should be going on in the world. God holds us in his hands. I went through Walmart last night. Had to pick up something, and the shelves were bare. Oh my goodness, the shelves, we've never seen. But listen, God still holds us in his hands. Last year or two, it was the toilet paper flying off the shelves. I don't know if anybody ran out of toilet paper. You may have been inconvenienced, but praise God, you made it through the toilet paper shortage. Amen. That was almost going to be non-survivable the way they depicted it, and they were limiting it, and what is God saying? If you look to the world, you're going to live like the world. You're going to run like the world. You're going to be all worried like the world. Hey, let's stand on the rock that never changes, and that's the Lord, the word of God. And so, as we look at this, he says, because of the gift of eternal life. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. How do you do that? How do you receive? Do you know how to receive with meekness the engrafted word? There is a special way to receive with meekness the engrafted word, to the effect that it is able to save your souls, exactly as God is asking us to do. Do you know how to do that? What? Now, that's a good way to do it. That's a good start. Amen. That's if you're not reading it, you're further away from it. But when you read the Word of God, and that's the truth, ask God, how do I receive with Lord? Show me, Lord. Be like Solomon. I don't know how to come in and go out unless you show me. And God honor Solomon's request? And because he asked him for that, did God give him everything else? Do you know that God says if we will seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, we'll get that and everything else that we stand in need of? And there are some things, could it be possibly there are some things we think we need that God is saying, you don't need that. Sometimes we think, I have to have this take place in my life. This has to happen tomorrow. Are we coming with God with meekness and saying, God, you know, help me to understand that you hold tomorrow and everything that's in it that I need to do. And we have to remind ourselves, because in one moment we can lose our joy. We can lose that meekness. So it's important that we seek the Lord and ask him to show us. And it's not something that you learn once. Lord, help me to walk in your meekness. Help me that you might be glorified in and through my life. And then lastly, doers of the word are blessed in his deed. So how do you know if you're a doer of the word of God? And he's going to show us here a couple of things. First of all, we need to guard against self-deception. Look at verse 22. He said, don't err. Remember in verse 16, he said, don't err. Did the disciples err at different times? Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven? They won't receive you, Lord. Shall we call down fire from heaven? Just like Elijah did. Well, this was not that Elijah did, what they were wanting to do. And the Lord said to them, do you remember what he said to them? Ye know not what spirit ye are of. Isn't that amazing? They didn't know. They thought they were doing God a favor. They shouldn't treat the Lord that way. Well, there's a lot of things that we think. If it was up to us, we'd be like Peter. You'll never go to the cross, Lord. You savor not the things that be of God, but of men, is what God said to him. He thought. We thought. Naaman thought. Remember, I thought the man of God would have come out to me. Struck his hand on the post on the, you know, and said this, that, and the other, and recovered the leper. And he didn't do that. God does not work the way that we think. And may we walk carefully because of that. So verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Listen, deceiving your own selves. Listen to that very carefully. Let that sink in. Allow the word of God to be performed in your life as a doer of the word. And don't think that just because you're a saved child of God and that you love the Lord, that you're doing his word. Are you in his hands? And are you allowing him to work in your life with gentleness, kindness? We've got to ask the Lord to do this. Ready? Help me to see myself as you see me, Lord. In fact, help me to see self that God wants to wipe out in our life. And he wants Christ to come forth. Help me to understand what is me and what is you. That's an important. How will we know? Lord, help me to know what you're doing and help me to see the difference of me and you. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Lord, help me to see you and help me to know when it's me. And when the Lord begins to show us that, those things, we will say, oh no, Lord, not me. We will begin to see ourself as God sees us, and we'll be able to turn away from that. A lot of people think, well, hey, listen, you know, they can get angry as a saved child of God, and they can say, that's God ordained, bless God, they needed to hear that. I heard one guy call himself a pastor, and he said that you should take all of the ungodly people, put them on an island, and blow it up. That's what he said. He was so sure of himself. He's probably about in his 40s out there. And is that the spirit of Christ? Is that why Jesus came, to blow up the earth? No, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And regardless of whatever type of sin it is, it's all the same. We get to thinking, see, you know, he must look at himself like he is so righteous. And yet, he missed it, didn't he? We can miss it as well. We can think what we do, well, but bless God, I'm right in this. Oh, I think we just made a mistake. Amen. That's not meekness. Does the wrath of man ever bring forth the righteousness of God? We just read it didn't. So when we're angry, chances are pretty good we're sinning. Because God's commandment is this, ready? Be angry and what? Sin not. How do you do that? How can you be angry and sin not? Well, you can be angry at the sin of alcoholism or drug abuse because it's reckless, it destroys lives. But my heart goes out. My heart does not get angry. And especially at the sinner, my goodness, what opportunity would we have to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ? We wouldn't. How about those that live a lifestyle of all sorts today that is unacceptable? Do you think us pointing our finger in their face is going to draw them to the Lord? That's us. Do you see the difference between self? It doesn't matter how much Bible you think you're reading to them. The Spirit of God has got to touch them. And here's the amazing truth. The Spirit of God works through your life and mine. And that's where lives are influenced for the cause of Christ, out of love. You and I were loved to the Lord Jesus Christ. truth be known, we saw the mercy of God. At the same time, we saw our sinfulness and the separation that it brought. And we say, oh God, I need you. And he came, didn't he? And saved us. Do you know God works the same way? What happened? Hell is real, and we ought to teach that and preach that. All these things are real. But people aren't dying and going to hell because of their symptoms. They're going to hell because of the cause we all have, and that is that we were born unrighteous. We were born sinful. And so that's where the difference is at. Pointing out the symptom is not going to deal with the cause. It can't happen that way. It won't happen. You could scare somebody into religion if you wanted to. You could probably do a good job of that. It won't last long. But the greatest thing is for God to save them as he saved you and I. And so he says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And we know that that's a mirror. And so he's saying, by the way, listen, God, how do I look at myself? Unless you help me see myself, and by the way, when he says this, we have to make a conscientious effort to present ourselves a living sacrifice. Don't misunderstand that God is asking you to roll up your sleeves and get busy doing something for God, because we can't do anything for God unless God does it for us first. We just need to be a vessel pliable in his hands. Let him form us and shape us as he wants to. We cannot help the world if we're not right with the Lord. You could be a saved child of God and not effective for the cause of Christ. David was for a while, wasn't he? When he sinned with Bathsheba, you think anybody was being influenced for the cause of Christ during that time in his life? No. In fact, he put a wedge. And pride is a very fearful thing. Recognize and realize from the eyes of God how he sees it. Remember when David numbered the people? Tell me that didn't bring a little bit of confusion the first time you read that. Why, God? Why would you send? He gave them some choices, didn't he? All of them didn't sound good at all because there was death involved in every one of them. He was so fearful, he said, God, you choose for me. And he did. God did choose, and God did judge. And people died because he numbered the people. Why would David number the people? He was, pride. So it was the sin of pride, seven things that God hates. Pride is ourself. That's why God wants us to see our pride the way he sees it. It stinks. It is putrid before the Lord, and he will not honor that. That's why it's important that God break the outer man, that his Holy Spirit can come forth and do the work. This is what's missing in God's churches today, understanding the importance of God's work in our life. Everybody's busy doing something for God, but they're not experiencing God working for them in their everyday life. Is that not the life of hypocrisy if we go home and we harbor ill will and thoughts in our hearts and minds? Are we not playing the hypocrite to go home and to live the next few days until we come back to God's house again? And then God says he's promised to root that out. God said he's promised to root that out of our life. Lord, I'm just asking you and expecting you to do what you promised. Because I want success in that. I can't do that, but you know what? God can. And he will do it if we approach him in faith. We don't have to get caught up with the things of the world and the worries of the world. Listen to that verse again in verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is he talking to the lost world? He's called us beloved already. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And notice, for he beholdeth himself, he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That happens more than we know. We look at ourselves, we get ourselves all ready for the day, and we don't even see what God sees. We don't even see how full of ourselves we are. And we traipse along through the world and through life thinking that God's going to do something with us, and he won't if we don't ask him to. We have to be a willing vessel, a willing sacrifice, a cheerful giver of ourselves to God. I want you, God, to do this. What does that display? Does it not display humility? In this regard, Lord, I don't even know how to do it. You've got to do it. Lord, I need you to do it. Lord, I want you to do it. So because it's the new year, we just ask about New Year's. God, I need you. I'll be here next time, next year. But if we keep knocking on that door and asking him and meaning that, do you know that he'll begin to do a work? And you will see it to different degrees, and you will experience the victory. And do you know you'll begin talking to him in the shower, as you're getting ready, as you're in the car, you'll find it a good time to shut the radio off and say, oh God, how I thank you for what you're doing in my life and what I'm seeing, and that you're giving me insight of the difference between myself and you, and the grace that can be had as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, this process is okay to different degrees, because we're all different. It could be done speedily in somebody's life. I will just tell you, it's not that in my life. It's a gradual process, but I am seeing it, and I'm thankful for it. But if we never ask God, will we see it? And we'll never see it if we don't ask him for it. So I don't want to be a hearer of the word and not a doer. I want God, I don't want to forget. Listen, forgetting what kind of man, what manner of man. God wants us to see the flesh and self. Why? So that we can differentiate between the two. Did God tell us what the world is like? Does God tell us in his word what the world is like? We heard it this morning. We got a little bit of it here tonight. The wrath of man is not the righteousness of God. So why is God telling us that? So we can understand the difference. And so when we ask God to help me to see the self of me the way you see it, it will nauseate us too. Have you ever, and I've asked this before, but I just want to remind you, have you ever said something to one other person or a group of people, and you walked away thinking, oh, I wish I would have never said that. Because you thought either that was such a stupid thing or such a hard, you know, just off. It was just off, right? That's the way God will let us see ourselves and what we think if we'll ask him to. And what does that bring? It'll cause us to walk humbly before the Lord. Lord, I don't want that. If you could take back what you said and do it over, wouldn't you? Of course you would. Do you know what God's trying to do? Give us an insight and an opportunity to walk humbly before him. The only way he'll do that, the only way that will happen is that when we begin, oh my goodness. It's like the emperor with his new clothes that wasn't wearing any. Remember the story? And some little kid said, why doesn't the emperor have any clothes? They were all living in a fantasy land, weren't they? God does not want us to be hearers of the word of God and not see anything taking place in our lives. That's vanity. Yes, salvation. Yes, a child of God, but powerless. That's not what God wants for you and I. So ask the Lord, Lord, that I might see, that you might see, that I might see myself as you see me. And then lastly, We have verse 25. Listen to this. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. So looking has to do with seeing, does it not? Looking. Listen. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of, you've got to see it. The perfect law of liberty. And that is the grace of God. That's not simply just reading the Bible. That is looking, listen, at the perfect law of God's liberty or freedom. And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, listen to this, but a doer of the what? Work. God has brought this individual to a certain place where now God is performing the work in the life. So he says, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed how? In his deed. There'll be a blessing. Well, how will there be a blessing? We will see God use us to influence people for his cause in a greater way. When we see ourselves and God is doing a work of breaking the outer man, and it's just not, listen, we can be kind and we can be gentle, but it's different when it's God's kindness and God's gentleness. It is different when the Spirit of God can come out. You walk in and the Holy Spirit is very prevalent. The world may not even understand it, but they will experience it. And that's where when we begin to speak concerning the truth of God's word concerning salvation, they'll listen and they'll see their need of a Savior. But if we're filled up with self, very little is going to happen. And again, I just want to remind you with Peter and John when they went and they were going to the temple and they saw the lame man there from his youth. And they said, remember, Peter said, silver and gold, have we none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Did he get up and walk? Well, was that Peter that did that? Was that Peter? My goodness, oh, Peter, you are good. Is that what it was? Peter was the first one to say, ye men of Israel, why do you look at us? As if by our own power we have made this man whole. Who did they credit that with? The Lord Jesus Christ. What credit is God getting from our lives? Honestly, genuinely, what is God getting from our lives? Not much if we're not giving it to him. So God says tonight, my son, my daughter, give me thine heart. Give me. Present yourselves a living sacrifice in my hands. And watch what I'll do. Only saved children of God can do that. And if we do, God says, I will show you great and mighty things that come from him. And that's what he wants to do. If we'll have it. Would you stand? Once again, it's God's invitation, our opportunity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts as only you can, and that, Lord, we would step out by faith and call upon you and asking you to do this work that you desire to do in our lives, that you might be glorified and that we might experience you in a powerful way. And a life-changing way that will influence our family, our church family, and the world. Bless in the invitation, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.